Grüezi miteinander. Ganz herzlich willkommen und einen wunderschönen guten Tag, meine sehr verehrten Damen und Herren, liebe Freunde. Ich begrüße Sie zu einer weiteren Sondersendung aus Georgien, aus der georgischen Hauptstadt Tbilisi, zu einer Sondersendung von Weltwoche Daily, die andere Sicht, unabhängig, kritisch, gut gelaunt. Wir erforschen den faszinierenden Kleinstaat im Kaukasus, südlich gelegen von Russland, an einer Schnittstelle der Geopolitik, in einer Schlangengrube der Geopolitik, könnte man sagen. Wir haben mit dem Premierminister gesprochen, mit der Außenministerin, mit verschiedenen Exponenten des georgischen Lebens und der Geschichte. Und jetzt haben wir einen weiteren hochinteressanten Mann hier vor der Kamera. Er ist der Architekt, könnte man sagen, der georgischen Wirtschaft nach der Unabhängigkeit, als sich dieses Georgien löste aus der Sowjetunion, ein an sich schon hochfaszinierender Vorgang. Wir unterhalten uns heute mit Wladimir Papava. Wladimir Papava war Wirtschaftsminister in der Regierung des damaligen Präsidenten Eduard Shevardnadze, sehr gut bekannt im Westen natürlich als der letzte Außenminister der Sowjetunion, dann in Georgien, als ursprünglicher Georgier, dann hier Präsident, eine hoch angesehene Persönlichkeit. Im Folgenden hatte Professor Papava viele Posten in der Politik und er ist jetzt als Hochschullehrer tätig an der Tbilisi State University, an der staatlichen Universität hier in Tbilisi. Er hat in den Vereinigten Staaten sich auch akademisch weitergebildet, unter anderem an der Johns Hopkins University, eine der ganz renommierten Adresse der internationalen Ökonomie. Er ist hervorgetreten mit einem Begriff, mit einer Wortschöpfung, Necroeconomics. Das bezieht sich, aber er wird uns das dann erklären, das bezieht sich auf den Übergang der kommunistischen Wirtschaften in kapitalistische, in marktwirtschaftliche Wirtschaften, aber er wird mich dann vielleicht korrigieren, wenn ich hier etwas Falsches sage. Er hat zahlreiche Bücher geschrieben und er ist natürlich ein akuter, scharfäugiger Beobachter der internationalen ökonomischen Entwicklungen. Und er hat mir bereits erzählt, wir leben ja jetzt in einer sehr spannenden, faszinierenden, auch etwas ungewissen Transformationsphase. Es verändert sich sehr, sehr viel und für einen Kleinstaat wie Georgien, wie die Schweiz übrigens auch, heißt das natürlich, dass man auf diese Veränderungen sich da einstellen muss. Ich wechsle jetzt auf Englisch, damit wir uns hier wieder verständigen können. Professor Papava, welcome to our program. I just made the introduction in German. And let's start our first topic here. Let's talk about Georgia. You are the architect, one could say, of the Georgian economy after the independence from the Soviet Union, after the collapse of the Soviet Union. How is Georgia doing economically in these difficult geopolitical times here at the border of Asia and Europe?
At this time of the collapse of Soviet Union, as usually in post-communist countries, the same situation was in Georgia. Technologies which were used during command economy, they were really outdated technologies if you compare with modern standards of worldwide. That's why using these technologies, it was impossible to produce high quality goods. And they also, these goods were very expensive. That's why I created a theory of necroeconomics. And this terminology, necroeconomics, also is coined by me. According to the theory, in post-communist countries, it was possible to produce something. It was possible to have supply with no demand. Mm-hmm. So it is a quite strange situation because in real market economy, it's impossible to produce something and to supply to market goods without any demand. But mm-hmm. it was possible in post-communist period, at least during first decade. And Georgia is a small country. Face the same problem. That's why it was sharp decline of economy with other factors which I have mentioned above. So But after transformation of Georgian economy, after modernization, after achievement of macroeconomic stabilization, and when Georgian economy step by step became more attractive for foreign investors, situation was improved.
I mean, the interesting question is, I mean, you have been educated in the command economy. You have lived in the Soviet Union, you have studied in the Soviet Union, so you were schooled in Leninist, Marxist, economical theory. How did you apply market economic principles? Where did you learn about them? How did you put them in practice?
You see, it's a really very interesting question, but it's a quite simple answer. In Soviet Union, there were different directions, different schools in economics, and one of the very famous school was using of mathematical methods as models in economy. And I was economist mathematician, graduated Tbilisi State University, and mostly all models, mathematical models, which were used in planning of Soviet Union, Soviet economy of Soviet Union, so these models were created in Western countries. That's why, yes, I was educated in Tbilisi State University in communist times. A lot of Marxism and Leninism theories were offered by Soviet universities. But because our school of economics was based on using of mathematical models, and these models were established in four Western countries, we transformed this model for situation of planned economy. But features were the same. Mm-hmm. Understanding of economy was the same. That's why not only for me, but for my colleagues who were economists, mathematicians, for them it was much easier to understand the features of market economy.
How is the Georgian economy doing right now? You have difficult times behind you. We have the war in Ukraine. There is pressure on Georgia from many sides to somehow participate and, take part in this whole conflict. You still have the Russians occupying part of your country, which is very difficult, I can imagine. How is the economy doing at the moment?
So it's really very important question for Georgia, not only interesting but very important for Georgia. Why? Because now, after crisis of Russia in 1998, Russia is not a first trade partner for Georgia. Number first trade partner for Georgia is now Turkey. But Russia is second or third trade partner for Georgia. Number one is Turkey. But Georgia is still mostly dependent on Russian economy. Imports of Russian goods in Georgia, exports of Georgian wines and other products to Russia. So Georgia is still dependent on Russian economy. Now, the problems in Georgian economy started during COVID-19 pandemic. It was the worldwide problem because economy was shut down, and because of shutdown it pushed economic crisis. But in 2021, when economy of Georgia as well as economies in many other countries were opened, it was a serious improvement of economic situation, and a growth rate of Georgian economy was very impressive, more than 11%. Mm-hmm. So it was a trigger for Georgian economy. When Russia started war in February 2022, it was hard times for Georgia because there were some signals, at least from Ukrainian politicians, that Georgia has to start military action against Russia as well, mm-hmm. in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, because during 5 days war, August war of 2008, Russia occupied Abkhazia and South Ossetia. It was not only annexation of these territories, but the recognition of their independence. So Georgia, 20% of Georgia's territory is still occupied by Russian military troops. So, and Ukrainian politicians pushed to made the statement that Georgia has to be involved in military actions. Unfortunately, our partners, Western partners, never made any comments about this Ukrainians' vision. So it means they prefer to support Ukrainians' positions. And it's quite understandable for us. But what is the situation? 20% of Georgian territory is already occupied. Quite close from Tbilisi, not more than 40 kilometers, they are Russian military base. So starting military actions against of Russia means collapse of Georgia, finishing of Georgia, which will be a serious mistake. And I think that it was quite difficult for Georgian government to be against of everybody worldwide and not to start some confrontation with Russia. So we know some resolutions of Europarliament where they also declare that Georgia has to establish economic sanctions against Russia. It's a serious mistake. Georgia is not a member of European Union, so we don't have European Union umbrella and financial resources. Georgia is also not a member of NATO, having NATO umbrella with military support. So Georgian government decided not to establish economic sanctions. And not only Georgia, the Turkish use the same way. Israel use the same way. So, and nobody blame Israel or Turkey not establishing economic sanctions.
Switzerland took over the European economic sanction despite we are not member of the European Union. So yeah. Switzerland made this mistake.
At least I think that there are many countries in the world not to be in partnership with Russia, but not to establish, not to follow economic sanctions. And for small Georgia with already occupied territories, it would be a huge mistake to have some confrontation with Russia.
And so your economy didn't go down in this war with Ukraine, or was it somehow hampered?
The main problem, positive result was that because of this war, there were many refugees from Ukraine, from Belarus, and Russian Federation. They moved to Georgia with their businesses, and this promoted economic growth in Georgia in 2022, 2023. During 2023, many Russians left Georgia. Some of them, they returned to Russia, and mostly they prefer to move to other countries. So, but still, what is very important for Georgia, the governmental policy is not to be very active in intervention of economy, because during Saakashvili's period, when ruling party was national movement, there were a lot of cases of violation of not only human rights, but property rights as well. But we still have a situation when business is free from governmental pressure, which is very important. And Georgia tried to have its economic activities with all directions. I have already mentioned that main trade partner for Georgia is Turkey. We still have good economic relations with Russia. We try to establish continual economic cooperation with our strategic partner in the region, Azerbaijan, because we are in the same transport corridor, which is very important. So I called this partnership of Georgia and Azerbaijan by terminology of Caucasian tandem. So, and that's why Georgia has very good relations with neighbors like Azerbaijan, Armenia, we have to promote our economic relations with them. And also we try to have good economic relations, and not only economic, but mostly political relations with our Western partners, strategic partners, like United States, European Union. But we also open doors for new partners, like China, because China is a country with huge economy, number two economy in the world. And China has huge interests in the region. Why? Everybody knows Belt and Road Initiative of Xi Jinping, president of China, which was established first in 2013. At this time, they published many maps describe this Belt and Road Initiative. And according to these maps, Azerbaijan to Georgia was not on the map as a transportation road. Mostly they described northern road, northern transport corridor crossing Russia, and southern crossing Iran and Turkey. So, and it was a huge effort of Georgian and Azerbaijani government to reestablish the vision of Beijing and for having another transport corridor.
And you're joining now the Belt and Road Initiative somehow. And is it the question it is hugely discussed in the European Union, also in Switzerland? They say the Chinese use this Belt and Road Initiative to buy countries, to dominate them. Is that your experience too, or is that
not a false perception? Not yet, because I think that there is a huge difference between Chinese case with other cases. It's based on cultural phenomenon, because Georgians, we are Christians, we are mostly European-style thinking nation. For us, it's much easier to have some cultural influence from Western countries, like European countries, United States. Also, as a Christian country, we have also influence from Russian world because of language. But culturally, China is very different. Their traditions, their language, writing, alphabet is different. So Chinese influence cannot be at the same level as Western countries' influence or Russian influence. So we needed, first of all, after establishing of Belt and Road Initiative, China tried to use northern transport corridor crossing Russia and connecting China to European countries. After starting of Russian world Ukraine, this transport corridor was blocked because of war, because of Western sanctions. Then there are another south corridor crossing Iran and Turkey. But this corridor it also has problem because of Iran, because Iran is under the sanctions of United States and some other Western countries. So that's why there is a middle corridor which crossing Caspian Sea, Azerbaijan and Georgia, then crossing Black Sea, reaching Bulgaria or Romania, or using from Georgia again transport corridor through Turkey and connecting again European countries.
When you're not taking over sanctions, then there is always the attack or the criticism that your country could be used to circumvent sanctions, that you could profiteer from the war. How did Georgia manage to fend this off, that you were not in the spotlight? Or was there huge pressure on your country because you didn't participate in this sanction regime? I mean, economical pressure on your country?
It's really a very interesting question. Chinese prefer to use the northern transport corridor connecting China to European countries through Russia. But after Russia started the war in Ukraine in February 2022, this transport corridor, northern transport corridor, was blocked by sanctions as well. And Chinese companies cannot use this transport corridor, northern transport corridor. There is a southern transport corridor, which is also under the problems because transport corridor, southern transport corridor has to use road of, through Iran and then Turkey. Mm-hmm. And it is well known that Iran is under the economic sanctions of the United States. That's why using of southern corridor also faced several problems.
Yeah, was there economic pressure on Georgia that they said Georgia is trying to circumvent the sanctions that you are trying to avoid?
Yes. Now about these sanctions, so there were special commissions established in Washington and Brussels that jointly controlled how countries are following these sanctions. And several times the representatives visited Tbilisi. They met official representatives from Georgian government, and their conclusion was that Georgia is follow all sanctions. Mm-hmm. There is not any violation of sanctions.
No. So they kept you in peace.
Yes, and also very important to underline this one among issues that after starting of war in Georgia, there was a very well-known Russian bank, VTB Bank, Neshtorg Bank, branch established in Georgia. And after starting the Russian war in Ukraine and after establishing of economic sanctions against Russia, this bank, this branch of VTB Bank in Tbilisi in Georgia was closed, mm-hmm. simultaneously was closed. It was very positive signal to worldwide that Georgia itself does not establish sanctions against Russia, but Georgia follows sanctions.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a different model.
So it helped you. What are the, just to sum this all up, what are the pillars of the Georgian economy? What are the strengths? What are the pillars of your economic wealth?
So Georgia is a small country located in a complicated, difficult geopolitical situation. Georgia, at the present, the main trigger for Georgian economy is tourism and financial sector. Tourism, Georgia is a touristic country, very attractive, and from many people from Western countries, Eastern countries, Southern countries, Arabic world, they are interested in phenomenon of Georgia. They visited, and touristic sector is developed quite impressively. So another sector which is very important is banking sector, because of financial stability. Georgia managed to survive banking sector, to have macroeconomic stabilization inside of country. That's why financial sector is again very attractive. Mm-hmm. But for economic development of Georgia is very important to push development of real sector of economy, development of industry, development of agriculture. And in the future, for future development, it's also very important to change the model of economic development. I mean, we need the model economy which is well known worldwide, and it's called knowledge-based economy, mm-hmm. which means production of high-quality goods by sciences, I mean natural sciences, and these high quality goods will have high level of value added, which promote economic development of Georgia. And this model is used in some of the countries mm-hmm. successfully, and Georgia also has some chance to pushing its economic development on this way. Again, trigger for Georgian economy is the transport corridor. After collapse of Soviet Union, there was a question, what is the international function of Georgia's economy? What is international functions for Georgian economy? Because for many countries, for their development, it's very important to define the economy, international economic function of country. Mm-hmm. Some countries, they are rich with natural resources. Some countries have large scale of economy. Some countries have both large scale and natural resources. Georgia is small countries. Georgia has some natural resources, but not much. That's why it was very important to find international function for Georgian economy. It was done by Eduard Shevardnadze in the beginning of 90s, mm-hmm. when he returned from Russia to Tbilisi, and he was elected as a president. He established the idea about reestablishment of Silk Road, mm-hmm. Great Silk Road. Historically,
East and West
connection. I don't know if this idea was generated by Eduard Shevardnadze himself or somebody gave him such suggestion. But in the beginning of 90s, Shevardnadze, after reunification of Germany, as a former foreign minister of Soviet Union, he was very popular, and his idea about reestablishment of Great Silk Road also was very popular. Mm-hmm. Why? Because for Western countries, it was very important to have some alternative road with transport corridor crossing Russia. And that's why this idea was supported by Western countries. Brussels established new project Traseka. United States established Inogate, which was transportation of energy resources from Azerbaijan and Central Asian countries mm-hmm. to Western direction. At this time, in Georgia were constructed pipelines, mm-hmm. Baku-Tbilisi, Supsa, Baku-Tbilisi, Ceyhan, Baku-Tbilisi, Erzurum. First two were oil pipelines, third one gas pipeline. It will promote Georgia's economic development. Now Georgia has new chance to use Georgia's territory with Azerbaijan as a transport corridor, middle transport corridor, which is now very attractive for European countries, for China, for Central Asian countries. Many leaders of Central Asian countries visited Georgia. Our prime ministers also visited Central Asian countries mm-hmm. as well as China, and they try to reestablish new network of cooperation.
How do you solve the energy problem? This is also a huge topic, especially in the European Union, with all the climate change rhetoric, etc. What is the energy situation? What do you have here? What is your priority?
So it's also very important because it was signed a deal between European Union and under the umbrella of Brussels. It was signed agreement between Romania, Hungary, Georgia and Azerbaijan about production, green energy, and then transportation of this green energy through the cable through Black Sea to Romania, then Hungary. It's a possibility for Georgia to production green energy using untraditional energy resources, which is huge in Georgia, water resources, as well as other untraditional energy resources.
You have a lot of rivers?
Yes. So that's why it creates new possibilities for Georgian economic development. So Georgia's economy is quite attractive for many countries, not only Eastern countries, but Southern countries from the Arabic world as well.
We have a lot of viewers in Switzerland, in Germany, in Austria, also entrepreneurs and business people. What would you suggest to them? Why is Georgia interesting for a Swiss investor, for a Swiss company? What kind of companies, what kind of businesses would be especially welcomed here in Georgia?
As I have information, in the beginning of 2024, Swiss government, your government has established new deal with China to enlargement of trade relations with Chinese companies. And so for Chinese business as well as companies from Switzerland, they can use economic corridor of Georgia mm-hmm. and Azerbaijan. What it means? It's not only transport corridor. It's much more than transport corridor. It's economic corridor. The difference is economic corridor is transport corridors plus trade corridor and plus production. Mm-hmm. When you based on economic corridor, you can start production of any good and then use this transport corridor.
You are on the main road of connection.
Connections, and you can use this transport corridor then for distribution.
So you can build factories here, you can...
Yes, at the same time, Georgia is a single country who has free trade agreements with two directions, with a huge market, huge economic scale, huge scales of economy, like we have free trade agreement with China, we have free trade agreement with European Union. Mm-hmm. Georgia is a single country in the region, which simultaneously has free trade agreement with European Union and China, mm-hmm. which means that, for example, Chinese companies can start production of their goods in Georgia and with label produced in Georgia and using free trade agreement of Georgia's free trade agreement with European countries, then exported goods to a European yeah. market. The same can be used by European companies. Mm-hmm. They can establish their companies, daughter companies yeah. in Georgia, starting production, and then use Georgia's free trade agreement with yeah. China.
And you have skilled labor, you have enough people, good skilled education is good?
So it's a serious problem now for Georgia, but again, if we will not start it production something, that there will not be yeah. demand to have sure. high quality yeah. professionals. Mm-hmm. But when you start such production, yeah. then there will be huge interest. So it means that demand will push some supply.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is the and as far as the difference of living standards are concerned, I haven't seen the whole of the country. Now we are in Tbilisi. Tbilisi is a very nice city. We have very modern buildings. There's a lot of construction activity. Well, how is it all over the country? Is there a big difference between the different regions? Is the overall living standard more or less the same? This is a problem in many countries who have been in the communist world and the transformation to bring it all up. How is it here?
Well, after collapse of Soviet Union, we faced that it was a serious problem. Tbilisi was well developed, but there were a lot of difficulties in different regions yeah. of Georgia. But step by step, situation is improved. Now, I offer you to visit Batumi, Kutaisi, Sivnagi, which is very close from mm-hmm. Tbilisi. And you can see that situation step by step is improved. It does not mean that in all Georgia is the same situation, no. Mm-hmm. But situation is step by step is improved. I have mentioned that Georgia is touristic country. Now is winter time. And winter types of sports, this period is very popular for tourism.
Mm. You have amazingly beautiful mountains, very high, so, always snow.
There are a lot of hotels constructed by not only Georgia but foreign companies, offer the services for international levels. Mm-hmm. So step by step, situation in Georgia is improving.
And the political situation. We had a lot of demonstrations before Christmas. There was tension in the system. I guess this is not good for the economy. If viewers or entrepreneurs ask themselves, how stable is Georgia? What is the political stability? Is this country somehow in a disquiet, turbulent period? What would you say?
It's a really interesting question because protests early started in 2024, not only in the fall of 2024, but from the spring. From May, June, there were protest rallies in Tbilisi. Then it was continued after elections of October 26. So despite of these political tensions, Georgia's economy shows quite high level of economic growth. It was 9.5% of GDP growth in 2024. According to the prognosis of forecasts of International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, economic growth in 2025 will be nearly 6%, which is again quite a high level of economic development. Now about political crisis. I think that Georgia does not face political crisis. It's not a problem of political crisis. It is a serious problem, much more difficult crisis. It's a crisis of Georgian society. It's a confrontation among society. Because political crisis can be resolved by elections. What you know, it's very well-known case, what's happened now with Germany. Germany faced political crisis because the government cannot, does not have any support from the parliament. That's why they decided to have new elections. So after elections, this crisis will be resolved. But not in Georgia, because we don't have problem with political system. Because you see, there are some protest rallies, but the supporters, they don't have enough supporters to have some revolutionary situation. Mm-hmm. And this revolutionary situation in Georgia was pushed by Western countries. Mm-hmm. We know it from the statements done by Elon Musk and Donald Trump's administration, pushed by USAID and other institutions worldwide. Mm-hmm. It's information we share with our colleagues, but it was not official information. Mm-hmm. Now it's official information. Mm-hmm. And we know how some agents of deep state try to reestablish some political tensions, then transform to political crisis, and to have some color revolutions.
With what goal? What's the goal? What's the agenda behind it?
We already started about statements of Ukraine against Georgia, to push Georgia in military actions against of Russia. And I also mentioned that there was not any comments from Western countries' leaders, from Western countries' politicians. They don't prevent Ukrainian politicians. Please, not give such signals to Georgia, which will be very difficult, will have very difficult results for Georgia. So it means that they need to Georgia to be involved in these military actions. Mm-hmm. The same with Baltic countries. Why? Because for Baltic countries, they have borders with Russia. They are afraid. So for them, it's much better to have, if there will be another military actions in the south borders of Russia.
So they're safe.
So for them, it's obvious for us.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Georgia, 20% of Georgian territory is occupied. When it was Russian war in 2008, after this war, the Western countries did not establish any economic sanctions against Russia. There was not any economic sanctions. There was not serious criticisms or punishment of Russian government. Not only this, Western countries supported Russia to have Olympic Games in Sochi. And we know this.
Hypocrisy.
Yes, and only sanctions against Russia was established when Russia occupied Crimea, but not the occupation of Georgia's two territories, Abkhazia and South Ossetia. We have it's our history, modern history.
Double standards.
Double standards. Yeah. Unfortunately,
you have mentioned now the geopolitical dimension. We have Donald Trump, we have Vladimir Putin, we have Xi Jinping, we have a changing political environment. What is the most important economical trend right now on this planet?
So, world order is under the transformation. After collapse of Soviet Union, it was one polar world. And when the number one country was the United States, and it was a period of hype, hyper globalization, when everything, every spheres were globalized. Now situation is changed. China's influence in economy, and not only economy, is really raised, and China's is influenced step by step. We have how it's increased in the world. So Donald Trump is president of the United States, is very active, but very unpredictable. He, in his comments, in statements and comments, one day he can make a statement that he needs, United States will have, or already have good relation with China. Second day he blamed Chinese leaders and make a statement of establishing economic sanctions against China, like interdiction of import duties. So, it's a very unpredictable world. And nobody knows when the war of Russia and Ukraine will finish. During election campaign, the statement of Donald Trump was he promised his voters that he can finish this war during 24 hours. Later, he made the statement that he finished the war during 6 months. Now he has new agenda, 100 days. So I'm sure that he will be quite successful in finishing of this war. But anyway, result for Ukrainian will be only negative, not positive. It's obvious because we know that Russian military troops already occupied main territories.
And are we entering now also a period of economic crisis, or do we see a turn to the good?
So it's a really very complicated question. Now we are much closer with economic crisis. But why? Because establishing of import duties by Americans, United States, by American administration, against of Mexico, against of Canada, and establishing of such barriers against of China, will have the same actions from other countries. Mm-hmm. They also can establish such trade barriers. And establishing of trade barriers means increasing of expenses. And increasing of expenses on production will promote inflation. It should be a number one problem, economic problem for many countries. It will be a problem worldwide. That's why we faced a serious problem, economic problems worldwide. But again, I have already mentioned that Donald Trump has a very interesting position when he sometimes changed his statements.
He imposes tariffs and the next day they are thrown out of the window.
Yes, so that's why now it's quite comprehensive to make difficult to make any forecast of the nearest future of the world.
The stock market is very high. Some people say absurdly high. Do you expect a meltdown of the stock market, a huge crisis?
I prefer not to make any forecasts of economy because I'm not sure that such forecasts will be productive. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows because sometimes behavior of market agents are very unpredictable.
Yeah.
But again, when you have political tensions worldwide, so it has influence on economy. Yeah,
is the European economy, can it survive without Russia?
Yes, it can, but it will be more expensive. Because now European economy is mostly dependent on imports from United States, hydrocarbon resources, I mean oil and gas, so energy.
And Germany? I mean, Germany is facing an immense crisis. I mean,
so it's a really serious problem for Germany, and not only for Germany. But that's why European Union can survive economically. But what will face and already face economic problems.
And we see that the European Union has lost a lot of territory. I mean, like 20 years ago, it was ahead of the American economy. The overall GDP was higher. And now the GDP of the United States is almost double that of the European Union.
So it's a really serious problem. Why? Because, for example, now European countries supported Ukraine with military equipment. But European Union countries are not producers of military equipment. They imported the military equipment from the United States. That's why now European leaders in Brussels started discussions mm-hmm. to promoting military industry in European countries. Mm-hmm. So it's a main explanation. But European Union has another problem, territorial problem, related with Greenland.
Mm-hmm. That's the next chamber of conflict. What's the strategy of survival for small countries in this very insecure world?
So it's a really very important question. I think it's answer of this question was done by one Indian expert. I read this article several weeks ago that India, you know, it's a very influential country with high level of economic growth, number one country with the number population. Of population. And for India, according to this expert, for India it's very important to have strategic patience, not to be active, and to look what's happened. If so, for such huge country is India, is a strategic position is to have strategic patience. It's the same for small countries like Georgia. Georgia cannot be an influential actor in creating new world order. So Georgia has to follow the situation. Georgia has its preference. We want to be a European country with European institutions, European traditions of human rights protection, mm-hmm. European market economy. We feel ourselves that we are really Europeans. But Europe and ours itself is under the difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look what has happened. We can only follow the situation and to find the correct niche for our economy and for promoting economic development. I think that not to be very active in international relations is a much better position for small countries like Georgia.
Professor Papava, many thanks for your insights and your analysis.
Thank you. Thank you for your interest.